Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Still Real Tough Show, episode number 671 for December 22nd, 2022. Welcome to the holiday programming schedule here on SRTU. I am one half of the show. I am Jeff Peck, joined every single week with my host, the one and only Dr. Trey Franklin. Happy early Christmas to you, my friend.
Yes, yes. Happy early Christmas to you. I actually bought an inflatable snowman for Christmas, and then my wife looked at it and goes, "Yeah, we're right here. It's happening in the next few days. We're not putting this out this year." I'm like, "Okay, cool." But I got it on sale, so it's for next year. But I am now one of those people that has the inflatable decorations. So I'm one of those people. So I bought a Santa, and I bought a Christmas hippo.
How big are they?
So Santa is 8 foot tall.
Holy shit.
And then
shit.
He comes, he's got like a little Christmas dog on a leash. And then my Christmas hippo is 4 foot tall.
Well, okay, so, That's not too bad. If you end up putting them up, you got to take a picture for us.
Yeah, like I don't think, because I still have to do some electrical work. You know, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I got to do, kind of rig it up a little bit. So I'm like, we may save it for next year, because I think once the wife gets the tree up and does the porch and house decoration, she's like, I'm done. And I'm like, oh, but I just got this. And she's like, if you want to do it, go ahead. I'm like, no, I'll wait.
So when do you start putting up Christmas decorations?
So usually people come to the house for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Which we usually leave our Halloween decorations up all the way through Thanksgiving because, in fairness, it's still fall.
Yeah, but you're a huge Halloween fan, right? Your family's huge Halloween fans.
Yeah, it's more my wife. Like me, I like Halloween because it gives me the opportunity to wear wrestling gear and people not judge me for it.
True.
But, you know, we kind of leave it up because most of our stuff is mostly just lights and fall themed stuff anyway. And then she creates a Halloween decoration. Like, she made a witch, stirring a brew up in a pot, for a yard decoration, which looked really well. But we'll usually keep it up until around Thanksgiving. And then usually the first week of December is when she switches everything out from Halloween, Thanksgiving over to the Christmas stuff.
So for us, it's typically Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, or that Saturday, Sunday. It's days after Thanksgiving that I put up my tree, put up the Christmas decorations in my place, and we get right into it to Christmas.
So who's in charge of the decorating? You or the significant other?
Both of us equally. She will put the ornaments on the tree. She's very particular about putting the ornaments on the tree, but getting the tree up is a little bit more me. I have a artificial tree, because we have wild allergies, which we'll save for Allergy Cast. Put the lights on. We do that together. And then she handles ornaments. And while she's doing ornaments, like, we have a couple, like, knick-knacky things that go up in the rest of the place that I'll put up throughout the entire, place that I live in. But, it's pretty immediate. I am a huge, huge fan of Christmas. It's my favorite holiday by far.
So, since my wife does not listen to our show, I'm going to say this. And if anybody tells my wife, I will deny I said this, even though there's audio evidence, as we'll get into audio evidence of stuff we did last year. I'm disappointed in my Christmas tree. Like,
now it's real or artificial?
No. We have the artificial tree, which okay. I don't mind. I'm not a big real versus, like, in anything in my life. Real versus fake doesn't really matter to me as long as it looks nice.
I don't know what you're talking about there.
Yeah. It's a very traditional Christmas tree. And I was thinking, like, well, like, with her character in wrestling, my character in wrestling, how in love with Halloween we are, I would think it'd be a little more over the top. But no, like, there's bows and flowers and lights and, like, nothing crazy over the top about our Christmas tree. And I'm like, I'm kind of bummed out. And we actually have three artificial trees that we can use.
Wow.
And so I've seen the ones where they do the – have you seen the ones where they do, like, the portal tree where half the tree's on the ground, but then it looks like there's a portal on top above it and half the tree's coming down?
Like, yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that lately now that you mention it.
Yeah, and, like, there's some cool stuff you can do, but, like, our tree is just very kind of basic, and so I'm a little bummed out this year with it.
And this is a new tree, I presume.
We had it last year, and last year was kind of the same thing. Like, she didn't really go to the top. Like I said, like, our ornaments are very traditional. Like, each person in the family has an ornament that is theirs that kind of defines who they are, but the rest of the tree is just very kind of traditional, and I'm like, I just kind of thought it'd be a little more on top, but next year I might take over decorating.
Now, do you have a lot of ornaments or just have, like, a couple?
No, she's got some ornaments, but she wanted her tree to be, like, teal and white as the color scheme on it.
Okay.
And I'm just more like, oh, I just want, like, crazy over the top abstract, just weird crap. You know, I don't like having a normal Christmas tree, but. I mean, there's some ornaments, but it's all just the traditional globe type ornaments. And then, like I mentioned, the few personal ones that are us, but everything else is bows and just traditional clear lights. And then the traditional globe ornaments, and then the traditional little, like, clear star on top of the tree. It's just like, okay, like, this is the one thing we do that is basically kind of boring and generic, I guess.
Do you have – now, I know we've talked about this on the pod before because I feel like I've told my side to this story or at least shared what I have on the tree. But do you have any wrestling-related ornaments?
No, I do not. And the crazy thing is when you go to, like, all the stores, now they have all the personalized character ones. And I came across, like, a John Cena one and a Rock, and I didn't do it because I didn't want to affect the flow of her Christmas tree.
So I have the Rock. The Rock okay. ornament is on my Christmas tree as we speak.
Is he on? Is he, like, just hidden in the tree?
No.
Or do you have a specific spot for the Rock?
No. Well, he's not hidden. He's out front. He's visible. If you came into my place, he's not, like, behind where it's in the corner of the wall where you can't see. He's out there. He's visible. Dwayne the Rock Johnson is visible.
I'm wondering if I can get a brass ring and get a Cesaro ornament to go together.
And Vince.
Yeah, and Vince, like two levels below, like, he's yelling at him.
Yes, yeah. With a cup of coffee in his hand. Which, speaking of The Rock, if nobody has seen it yet, Young Rock Christmas special, our pal, good friend, fellow fantasy football compadre, Luke Hawks, a.k.a. Stone Cold Steve Austin on Young Rock, NBC's Young Rock, is on the Christmas edition of this year's episode. I watched it recently, loved the episode, highly recommend it to everybody in the Christmas spirit. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Young Rock, NBC, Luke Hawks, our boy, on that episode. Feel free to chime in. Any type of wrestling-related ornaments that you guys have or whatever, if you want to take pictures of your tree and share it with us, at SRTU Podcast on Twitter or Facebook.com/StillRealToShow. Before I forget, next week's episode, 2022 SRTU Award Show Special, we have put up the categories. Feel free to share your thoughts on each one of those categories and who you would pick to win, and maybe, just maybe, it'll be read on the air on next week's edition of SRTU, the last episode of 2022. It's amazing how quick the year goes. And that's what brings us here today as part of the holiday programming schedule. We will recap as best we can the professional wrestling in the year 2022. And of course, listen back to our old bold predictions from the first show of the year. So let's get right into it, Dr. Trey. It was a very newsworthy year for professional wrestling, to say the least. A couple of things that stood out to me, and this is how I feel, and it will be interesting to hear if you feel the same way, but I figured we would start out because, for me, I felt like World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, pulled away from AEW in 2022. Do you agree? Did WWE pull away from AEW this year?
Yeah, I feel towards the end of the year. If we were doing this back in June, maybe I don't say that. Maybe I still feel like the gap hadn't changed. But with the change in leadership and the change of direction, I feel like the WWE product has improved dramatically over the past 6 months. You can't say that about AEW. You can't say their product's gotten better over the last 6 months. So I think the gap is widening as far as the television product. Now, I will say, as far as merchandise goes and availability to get their brand out there, AEW has done much better this year. Like, when I go into the Targets or I go to Walmart, go shopping, I find their toys out there. You go into the Hot Topics, places like that. Their merchandise is more out there for people to purchase. So it does kind of help create some maybe intrigue and interest. But, you know, absolutely, as far as a television product go, and even an in-ring product, the last 6 months, WWE has widened the gap over AEW.
It's interesting that you point out about June, July, summer months. I mean, that is the time when Triple H took over and when Vince McMahon retired. I mean, that's where the space, the gap between WWE and AEW was created from my vantage point.
Yeah, no, I mean, the storylines make sense. We don't have people being put. So I know a little bit about your job, but I don't know how many people you manage or how many people you're over. You know, I have a pretty large team of folks that I manage. One of my things I always focus on is put people in the position to succeed, like put them in a spot where their abilities can be, their strengths can be highlighted. You can kind of hide their weaknesses. And I think Triple H does a great job of putting his guys in positions where they kind of fit and can produce the best. And I think that is one thing that's really changed since he took over that leadership, is we don't have guys doing characters that they had. You know, there's no drastic changing characters. There's no clunky, weird, you know, Doudrop name type gimmicks coming in. Like, everybody's kind of got a character. Everybody has a role. It's clearly defined what they do. And, you know, we're not sitting here like looking at the roster going, what the hell are they doing with that guy? Why is that guy doing this? Like, it's not so questionable as it was before. Like, everybody kind of has a role, and they do it really well. And if those roles adjust, that's never like out of character for them. So I think they've done a great job of putting their roster in the best position to be successful.
I kind of disagree with you on the point about drastic character changes. And it'd be interesting if you understand where I'm coming from here, because I feel like there. What's that?
I said I may be forgetting somebody.
I think once I say a couple of these names, you're going to go, okay, yeah, I see what you mean. I think that there's been drastic character changes, and it's been for the positive, in a very positive way from my standpoint. Austin Theory, from a huge scale, right? They dumped the annoying selfie guy. Now he's the now. And even on a very small scale, and I can't even believe I'm bringing this up in a recap show, but I will, just as an example, like an Akira Tozawa on Raw has had some, and then like Reggie, now known as Scripps in NXT. There have been some drastic character changes, Dr. Trey, but they're not drastic where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they just put a gladiator helmet on Karrion Kross. You're like, I really like what they've done with Austin Theory. I really like what they've done with Reggie. I really like what they've done with Akira Tozawa. I really like what they've done with Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, anybody in the Judgment Day, really. Like, to me, those are some of the drastic character changes where you're like, they're not in your face. Like, hey, we just made this move and we're moaning and groaning as fans like we typically do. It happens. And then we realize, wait, they changed their character and I really dig it.
No, so I maybe I wasn't clearly defining my drastic changes. So like those people you mentioned are kind of what I feel like when I say they put them in the best position to be successful.
Very true.
Like, you know, when we saw Karrion Kross in NXT and then he comes to the main roster and all of a sudden the entire gimmick is different. You're like, oh, this is horrible compared to what it was. Like those are kind of the ones. Or like when we see Piper Niven in the Mae Young Classic and then she gets to the main roster, we're going to call her Dewdrop. Like we saw her in NXT UK. She was doing great there. And then we're going to give her this weird gimmick that just makes no sense. Like those are the ones that like the drastic change that just leave you kind of scratching your head. When you take guys like Akira Tozawa, who's in a stupid like ninja gimmick because he's Asian and that's just kind of what the old guard used to do in WWE. And then you go, hey, instead, let's kind of focus on the fact that he's a damn good wrestler and he's entertaining and kind of go that route with him. That's kind of like it's a drastic change, but it's more so like, hey, you can be way more successful if we just make this adjustment and run this route. Like, that's what I feel like Hunter's done is he's, instead of recasting or, like, you know, basically changing a character's entire gimmick, it's more of you're still the same guy, but instead of being this, we're going to kind of tweak it and move it this way. So, in a sense, it's drastic compared to what Vince was doing with him. But in reality, it's still the same guy doing the same character, just a better presentation based on, like I said, I think it's a much more hip, modern product as opposed to the kind of gimmicky way WWE had been handling stuff ever since. Well, basically, ever since Triple H had his heart incident and Bruce Prichard and those guys kind of came in and took over WWE for the 2 years prior to Hunter coming back.
Dr. Trey, what was the moment for you where you felt like WWE started to pull away from AEW? Is there a moment? Is there moments that led to the change?
Clash of the Castle was a big one. Like, I thought that was a fantastic show. SummerSlam, no, it was still basically already kind of booked when Hunter took over. But then once you kind of saw the direction, A, it's less matches. It's more like, the last few pay-per-views have been more like an NXT during Black and Gold type pay-per-view. It's like, it's less matches, but you're giving the guys more time. And then it was probably the Raw where I think it was Gable and Dolph Ziggler got like 20 minutes. I was like, wow, this is kind of what the diehard wrestling fans want, where we get these guys to go out there, have longer matches, show what they want, what they can do, but then we're still getting the WWE presentation and still some of their backstage stuff that we've grown to love. Like, seeing them focus more on the in-ring stuff along with the storyline presentation that WWE is known for was a big turning point for me, because I was like, man, this feels like Black and Gold NXT, just with a bigger roster to play with and more production value, more time to play with as well.
I felt like for me, the turning point was when Triple H started bringing wrestlers who were released back, because I felt like that was kind of planting the flag. Because from the way I felt, and I don't know if you agree with this, but it felt like to me, if I was a wrestler, the company I would want to work for was AEW. And then when Triple H took over, it was pretty much 50-50 at that point. And this is pre-drama, which we'll talk about. It was kind of in the middle of a little bit of the drama as well. And that's where I felt like WWE started to pull away. It's like, man, they're bringing back people I really enjoyed watching, whether it be on the main roster or in NXT, like Dakota Kai or Johnny Gargano. Like, I was really stoked to see a lot of the names that were brought back to the company. And that's when I felt like Triple H was kind of righting the wrongs from the last couple of years, where people that were released that we were shocked by, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, Gallus and Anderson, then came back to the company, and it felt like the company was whole again. That's how I felt. I felt like bringing back people was a huge turning point where I saw WWE start to pull away from AEW and become a better product.
Yeah, I think with that, obviously, there's been some guys who have done really, really well since coming back, and some people are still kind of not so much floundering. Like, he's found a role for everybody he's brought back. So nobody's just kind of like off the side we don't see on TV. Like, you may not see him every single week, but, every other week, they're going to be out there featured. It was also kind of a signal to me, like, hey, the wallet is open again. Like, we're not running through these cuts for no reason and using that as an excuse to get rid of folks. Like, hey, if you're a talented wrestler, we're going to find a spot for you somewhere in this company, whether it's in the main roster or in NXT. You know, and then the shuffling of the deck, like having setting some guys down to work in NXT and that cross promotion. It feels once again kind of like a fluid company among all the brands. Like, you know, as we sit here recording the show, we have, you know, Apollo Crews just wrestled for the NXT championship. You know, the New Day are the NXT tag team champions. You know, there's the fluidity between the shows feels more cohesive now. Maybe, and then, you know, my dog obviously is upset about the New Day being in NXT, but, you know, it feels more cohesive and more as one fluid unit maybe than it was during the pandemic era and, you know, when Triple H had to step away from the company.
It's interesting you bring up creative stuff, because I think there's some stuff that we'll bring up here in just a few moments when it came to AEW and their creative that pointed towards a backward step that was pretty surprising this year, to be honest with you, because the last 3 years the company's been in operation, I always felt like AEW was a very solid and strong wrestling product that I really enjoyed, and there was a lot of creative stuff that did not make sense that was very Vince WWE-ish rather than what we're seeing from Triple H so far. So the feeling was, at least from the both of us, WWE did pull away from AEW in 2022. In a couple of weeks, when we look into 2023, we'll have to see, okay, will this continue forward, this trend for World Wrestling Entertainment? One of the big black eyes for AEW this past year, Dr. Trey, this was all the behind-the-scenes drama, whether it was Cody leaving AEW for WWE, MJF's Double or Nothing weekend, Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara getting in a backstage fight, the post All Out media scrum, and then Andrade El Idolo and Sammy Guevara getting in a behind the scenes fight as well. There was enough drama in AEW this year that one of those stories would be enough for any company. And this company went through it multiple times every couple of months. Since the All Out media scrum, there was the Andrade El Idolo and Sammy Guevara stuff, I think, in early October. Things have been good the last couple months. Dare I say, here we are recording this. Maybe something pops up in the last couple weeks of the year. But, I mean, that drama that went on behind the scenes in AEW was a massive black eye. It made the front office and management look very poor. I was shocked by this, Dr. Trey. I could not get over that a locker room that, according to reports and everything that we saw, was very tight-knit, got along really well, and believed in carrying the flag of All Elite Wrestling, did everything they could in 2022 to tear it all down.
Yeah. It's amazing when you guys, like, when you list out all the stuff they went through this year. And, you know, one of the things you and I used to applaud about this company was not just how tight-knit they were, but how tight-lipped they were. Like when the stuff with Brody Lee being sick came out, we heard nothing. There was nothing about getting out. And it's weird when I bring this up. It's just that the fact that ever since Cody left, it feels like there's no rudder to the ship. Like it is just kind of all over the place. And you don't have that leadership at the top where, you know, where you draw the line at. What's getting out? Stuff's getting out. I need to find out who's leaking this stuff and put it into it, because at the end of the day, like, who you are to the public is the perception is the reality. And, you know, ever since pretty much May, it just feels like this company is just all over the place and nobody's setting boundaries. It's just the old adage of the inmates running the asylum, throughout the years of WWE, you'd hear stuff like, oh, the morale's down or the morale's up, but you didn't really hear about anything drama related backstage. And you didn't really hear about AEW for the first couple of years, but now in year three, it's all over the place. And I think that's the difference in leadership. Like, not only in WWE did you have Vince or you had a Triple H, but you had, you know, a John Laurinaitis. You had somebody that would kind of set the boundary and, you know, the alpha male presence or something like that would go on. Like, I just don't think AEW really has anybody who sets that line for them. And it's, hey, this is how we do it. If you don't like it, get the hell out. Like, they just don't have that anymore. And that's why I just kind of feel like they're rudderless and they're just drifting at times.
I don't know if I would say that, like, Laurinaitis and Vince were the best managers. I mean, they certainly had their drama this past year for sure. I think for me, the thing that wrestlers didn't like about WWE was that it was so professional and corporate. And what everybody loved about AEW, it was underground. it was, you know, a level up from independence, but they had like a massive television deal, and it was free, carefree and creative and stuff like that. Like this stuff that happened in AEW would not fly in WWE. And if it does happen in WWE, we're not hearing about it. Like that's really shocking. This, it just was such a massive black eye on the company this year. And I don't know who's to blame, to be honest with you. I guess at the end of the day, it all falls at the feet of Tony Khan, Dr. Trey, and the way that he manages the company, because that's something that I didn't even list, was Jonathan Gresham, right? He came in ROH world champion. AEW purchases ROH this past year. He has a blowout reportedly backstage before, I think, Death Before Dishonor, before his match with Claudio Castagnoli and ripping Tony Khan apart. And then you heard Joey Janela ripping the talent relations department apart, where they were starting to quietly release people, just letting their contracts run out. And whether it was Marco Stunt or Joey Janela, they wouldn't hear from talent relations. It came off very unprofessional. I guess it falls at the feet of Tony Khan here. Like, is he really, I hate to say it like this, but is he really ready to be the Vince, the Triple H of his company, and make sure that the company is running smoothly rather than just being the booker who is a huge wrestling fan and is able to live out his lifelong dream because he has the financial wherewithal to book his own wrestling promotion on a national television market and have some of the best talent in the world at his fingertips?
Yeah, like when I was mentioning Vince and John Laurinaitis, like their management skills aren't great, but you knew where the line was. Like you knew what you could do and what you couldn't do. And I think with AEW, like you have Tony Khan at the top, but then do you really have a leadership structure below that where people can go to and go, hey, so what's the line here? What, how does this handle? Or like, you don't really have, I just don't feel like there's a structure to everything. Where in WWE, there's a finite structure to everything.
Goes back to the corporate part of it, right?
Yeah. I just don't think Tony Khan, like, I know Tony Khan's been involved in businesses and his dad runs the Jaguars and a couple of soccer teams and he's had successful businesses, but I just don't know if he knows how to put together a structure for a successful company. And, you know, all the stuff you mentioned, like, we talk about the All Out Scrum, and to this day, I will tell people a lot. Like, to me, that was all Tony Khan's fault because he's sitting there next to CM Punk as Punk is taking these shots. And he's not, like, you go back and watch the video. He's nodding his head in agreement. It's not like he's rolling his eyes or covering his face. He's like, yeah, he's absolutely right. And then when all the stuff breaks out, they're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. It's like, oh, my God. Like, you're sitting there next to him. And then all the blunt falls in Punk's lap. And I'm like, could you imagine Vince if a guy is sitting next to Vince and, like, he's ripping apart people in the company? Vince would damn near punch the guy in the face himself. Like, it's just the leadership is not strong in the sense of, there's a line you don't cross here, and if you cross that line, you're gone. And we've seen Vince and WWE do that in the past, where if somebody crossed the line, they were just out the door. They were just gone. And then we'll figure out some way to replace them, but we're not going to have that kind of, you know, attitude and you know, and stuff like that in our company, because it puts our company in a bad light.
Dr. Trey, there are some alleged things about behind the scenes in AEW, whether they're, you know, they're obviously reported. Sometimes it's directly from the person, like in the case of CM Punk at the All Out Media Scrum, or it's through different various channels, whether it be through Conan, former WCW wrestler Conan on his podcast, or even former TNA Impact Wrestling, WWE, NXT, Raw wrestler EC3. When it comes to management at AEW, you know, CM Punk during that All Out Media Scrum, that's part of this black eye that we're talking about, is mentioning how the wrestlers aren't willing to listen to advice from some of the greatest minds in the business. And I don't remember who exactly he pointed out to. I felt like Regal's name came up. Maybe Bryan Danielson's name came up, but I know he said some names. And then you hear from EC3 during a podcast interview. It was on Vince Russo's thing, so take it as lightly as you can. He said that what he had heard was that William Regal said that the management, he quickly found out the mistake made about joining AEW because the management wasn't mature enough, I think was the words, to run the company. And then you had heard a report from Conan recently that I guess Danielson and William Regal were open to having, like, before every Dynamite, Rampage, taping, whatever, sessions with them to go over their wrestling skills, and not all the young stars would be out there. They would be behind the scenes playing video games, which I know has always been like this big get off my lawn type argument in professional wrestling from the veterans to the younger stars. And it is true. Times have certainly changed. But when you hear this stuff, I mean, where there's smoke, there's got to be some fire. And it just seems, again, that maybe the management is not prepared to be the management in this role, and that Tony Khan would prefer to be more of a booker than an owner CEO. And maybe that's why he's changed talent relations, where a guy like Tony Schiavone is running the show. But all in all, right, like, one, do you think there's fire to this smoke, legit fire? And two, do you think maybe in 2023 AEW should consider hiring somebody that can oversee this product and just let Tony Khan be the owner of the company?
I mean, well, I will say that they did bring in a guy from WWE, and he was supposedly going to be the successor to Kevin Dunn, who was well-liked.
But that's an executive producer role, no?
It is, but those executive producers can also help filter stuff down to those people that need to be in charge of stuff.
Okay.
Like, I talked to Brian Pillman back this summer when he was at one of our shows, and, you know, he brought the same similar thing where he was like, there's also this shiny new toy syndrome in AEW where they bring in, you know, somebody comes in and they get a really big push, and then it pushes everybody else down for a while, and then all of a sudden it's forgotten about. It's locked in the closet. You know, the Miros of the world, you know, the Malachis, things like that, where they get these big pushes, and then all of a sudden it's kind of pushed aside and forgotten about. And it does kind of feel like, I don't know, I don't want to say it feels like a bunch of teenagers running AEW, but it does. It kind of feels like if you had told me 20 years ago Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg would be running WWE, I would have said, like, oh my God, we're like, it'd be fun, but it's going to be a car wreck. I kind of feel like that's what's going on in the backstage of AEW. It's like those guys that kind of grew up watching DX or the guys who are running AEW right now, and it feels like a car crash at times. It just kind of feels like, hey, we put our eggs in this guy's basket, let's give him a big push, but then we'll forget about these guys. Oh wait, now everybody's criticizing us for pushing all the old guys, let's now push all the young guys. It just doesn't feel like there's any cohesion in that company. And you don't, and once again, if you're the owner and the booker, well, if I just pay a guy $2 million, it's like being the owner and the manager of the Yankees. Like, I just paid this guy a ton of money, so he's going to be out there every damn day so I can get my money's worth out of him. You know, where, hey, that guy's great, but he might not be the right fit for this angle or this story or this title. Like, you do have to kind of separate those things at time and have two different, you know, it's not Bill Parcells where if I'm buying all the groceries, I want to cook the dinner. Like, sometimes somebody's got to buy the groceries, but then you have to have a chef come in and put the dinner together based on those ingredients that you picked up. So it doesn't feel cohesive, and it doesn't feel like there's a structure in place at times. And then when all this chaos comes in, you see the guys that grew up in the Vince tree trying to set a structure, but then people are like, well, you're not in charge, so I don't have to listen to you. So it's a little bit of, you know, chaos at backstage at times when it comes to that stuff.
I'll leave it at this before we get to the next topic. My observation of the entire thing is when you look at William Regal, for instance, and he returns back to WWE, and according to what Tony Khan said, he wanted to go back and work with his son, Charlie Dempsey, who is on the NXT brand at the Performance Center. I totally understand that, and I'm not saying that that isn't part of it, but I also feel like if William Regal liked what was going on in NXT, he would have stayed. And I say that because Charlie Dempsey was working on the UK brand for the longest time, and I don't know if he was flying back and forth from the UK, from the US to the UK, and was doing that, or if he just was permanently in the UK for a period of time. But I don't think that if it was great, William Regal is leaving AEW. And I thought his departure recently spoke volumes to me that he left as quickly as he did from AEW, as quickly as he was fired from WWE and in AEW, he just as much was quickly gone from the company. I would not have guessed he would have been with AEW less than a year, and I thought his departure was a huge point on, like, okay, what's the direction of this company and how is management perceived by those who maybe didn't start out with AEW in 2019 and came from that WWE background and everything that's been going on with the company thus far. Keeping in line with all that stuff, so Dr. Trey, as we talked about earlier, WWE pulling away from AEW, all the AEW drama. Which direction surprised you the most from this past year? The way WWE moved forward in 2022 or the way AEW moved backwards in 2022?
That's a good one because it's almost a tie.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
As I'm looking at it, because you know, really about the midway part of the year, it kind of felt like, all right, they're treading water. I didn't really feel like any company really advanced or fell back, but the disparity between how different the last 6 months have been between these two companies is shocking. So I'm probably going to go with WWE being more the more surprising one, mainly because we didn't see the Vince leaving the company coming. Like, that hit us out of nowhere. And then, you know, Triple H coming back in the fold, Stephanie coming back. And Stephanie just took a leave of absence, you know, before she had to become co-CEO. So I'll go with WWE just because, like, I don't want to say that we kind of saw the AEW stuff coming, but there have been rumblings that it was kind of chaotic vaccines and, you know who do you go with what? And then, you know, we had the four executive VPs, and then Cody left, and then some of the powers from the other guys had gotten stripped away. So I'll still go with WWE being the more surprising one just because we didn't see Vince leaving coming, and then we didn't see how seamless the transition would be into a Triple H, Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon run company would be. It kind of felt like they were like, okay, we've been preparing for this. This is what we wanted to do. Let's go the direction we want to go, and let's see how it goes. Like, it was seamless. Like, there were no bumps in the road in that transition. So I guess I give WWE the edge just because of that.
I agree with you. I think the way WWE moved forward in 2022 was that their direction was the most surprising because we did not see Vince McMahon retiring. We did not see Triple H ever taking over. The way that things ended in 2021, Triple H was gone, had his heart issues. We weren't really sure if he would ever even return into an executive capacity. I think he may have started to come back towards the end of last year, but him running NXT ever again or any type of creative, I think, was basically put on hold because we didn't know if he was healthy enough to do the position ever again. I think where I disagree with you is where we didn't really see what was going on with AEW. I think if you look towards the end of AEW in 2021, coming out of All Out, we were talking a lot about, like, this was their opportunity to seize the moment and really disrupt the ground that WWE owned in the world of professional wrestling. And they did not seize that moment. And creative in 2020, towards the end of 2021 in AEW, coming out of All Out, was not that great. That I think that there may have been some signs of weakening from AEW that we can point back to now, especially 365 days later, and say, well, maybe it actually started here. But in the moment, we're like, man, what are they doing? Because the show has not been great lately, but I don't think we still would have ever guessed how far backwards they went in 2022 by the tea leaves that were being shown towards the end of 2021.
Yeah, I mean, my thought on it was more coming out of All Out 2021, like that, like, you're right, there was a point to capitalize. The Cody stuff, when the Cody stuff came up, it was like, really? Are we going to see Cody leaving? Was kind of, for me, one of those marks where went, there's something going on here. Like, this dude helped found the company, and he's looking at it as a better option to go to WWE. Like, that was kind of my first real tell that, you know, maybe it's not all sunshine and rainbows on the AEW side. But at that point, WWE hadn't progressed, and it was kind of like, well, they're both kind of just equal in treading water. So when the summertime hit and all these backstage AEW stuff started coming out, and then you saw how well WWE progressed with Triple H, that's where, to me, like, the big change came, because AEW then really started stepping back at that point, and WWE moved forward. So, but the Cody, I think we really underestimate just the impact of Cody Rhodes leaving AEW and what that kind of did to, I don't want to say the morale, but just the structure in the company, because the structure feels like it's fallen apart a lot since Cody left.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's been a wild 2022 for AEW and WWE specifically. It's there's been more news stories than I could ever remember in the history of this podcast in this year. I mean, the news stories that came out, like each one of them in any other year previous to this one, if we were doing the award show, like they would be the winner of news story of the year. All Out Media Scrum, Vince McMahon leaving, even recently with NXT Mandy Rose fan time situation, like the fights that are going on behind the scenes, Cody leaving the company, each one of those alone is a new story of the year in itself, and it all happened in 2022. I mean, before we get to these bold predictions here, Dr. Trey, I don't think there's been more of a wild TMZ-esque type year for the world of professional wrestling than we've ever covered in the history of the podcast. And we've been doing this for 12 years, nearly 13 in a couple of months. This is insane. Out of the entire 12 years we've been doing this, this past year was just absurd when you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of the show, you're absolutely right. I would even like the years when we had multiple wrestler deaths in a year, like those years still, like outside of, you know, those folks passing on, it still doesn't measure up, because you think about like you and I grew up in this wrestling, you know, watching wrestling, being a fan of wrestling, all of these things, and we still hear stories about was Arn and Sid and the stabbing incident, yeah, or the plane ride from hell incident,
Montreal screw job,
or, you know, Mick Foley losing an ear. Like, in reality, you could have taken each of those stories that you mentioned that happened this year, and it would become legendary if it had happened in a bubble by itself, just like those stories, you know. But we had nine, I'm just estimating here, we had like nine stories like that this year. So, like, you know, Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara fight would have been one of those things that we would talk about 6, 7, 10, 15 years from now if that was the only thing that happened. But that's the one that people forget about the most, maybe, or maybe Andrade and Sammy Guevara getting into it. Like, those things in themselves are like minor stories because of the chaos that happened this year with the rest of the news stories that broke out. So it's just crazy how much stuff happened that we kind of almost overlook and forget about just because of the sheer volume of craziness that happened.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff. It was CM Punk breaking his foot days after winning the AEW World Championship for doing a stage dive. Tearing his triceps in All Out would have been on its own a big shock. But it's just been such a wild year. And looking back at it, we could do 3 hours looking back at this year. We still have the award show next week, but I figured some of the topics that we were covering here on this week's edition of the show were worth bringing up. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about it here in the coming weeks, Dr. Trey.
Oh, yeah, one more. We didn't even talk about Logan Paul and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, Logan Paul being in the WWE, having a championship match.
Yeah, out of all the stuff we just mentioned, we didn't mention Logan Paul, Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, Logan Paul having a tremendous match, getting injured, finishing the match, and that is like, what, the 12th biggest news story this year? Where any other year that might have been like number, like top three.
Yeah.
But it's like way down the list this year.
It's insane. It's insane. So there are some topics that we wanted to cover here to recap the year of 2022 in professional wrestling. I'm sure, once again, we'll have more to talk about on next week's edition of the pod when we do our award show special. But now, Dr. Trey, it's time to open up the vault from January 6th, 2022, the first show of the year, our wrestling preview and our bold prediction show. It's time to open up the vault and hear how we did nearly 1 year later. How nervous are you?
Not as much as years past, because I think as I've gotten older, my voice sounds better.
It's not so, Southern Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, the redneck Kermit. Yeah, it's not as bad now. So I think in years past, when I was a little more excitable and the voice kicked up an octave, now that I've gotten a little bit older and I'm closer to death, the voice gets a little bit deeper. So it's not as shocking, but honestly, I can't remember any of these. So I don't know if I did good or bad or just completely embarrassed myself. Like, I mean, it might have been as bad as Top Dollar trying to jump over the top rope a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Poor guy, I think, hurt his knee from doing that. All right, let's go back. January 6, 2022, the first show of the year, wrestling preview for 2022 in our bold predictions edition of SRTU. Let's open up the vault, they shall say. In 3, 2, 1. Now, Dr. Trey, it's time to get into our 2022 bold predictions. and our WrestleMania 38 card predictions. So why don't we begin with you, Dr. Trey? Why don't you kick it off with your five bold predictions for this upcoming year?
All right. My first one is more of a dream, kind of what I want more than anything else. My number one is Bray Wyatt returns to WWE. I'm looking at, like, he hasn't signed with AEW. Now there's been rumors out there about it, but to me, the best place for Bray is WWE, because there's more global machine behind the Bray Wyatt character to once again push it to the mainstream. As much as I'd like to see him go to, you know, AEW, because, you know, maybe a little more freedom with the character, I just don't think Bray Wyatt in AEW is as big as what Bray Wyatt was in WWE on a global scale. So that's my first bold prediction, is that Bray Wyatt returns to WWE.
All right, my first bold prediction is that Cody Rhodes turns heel and becomes the AEW World Champion by defeating Hangman Adam Page. I know Cody is not supposed to be going for the AEW World Championship, but that's the whole point of his heel turn. He kind of leans in a little bit of being Tony Khan's boy, throwing his weight around him with his position. And I think he becomes a massive heel, wins the AEW World Championship by specifically defeating Hangman Page, and kind of puts AEW on its ear a little bit as one of its top stars by year end. So that is my first bold prediction for 2022. Dr. Trey, what is your second bold prediction for this year?
Let's see. I'm going to save that one. So I am going to go with the Briscoes sign with AEW and win the AEW tag team titles. The Briscoes are the ultimate tag team. AEW seems the best place for tag teams. They've been backstage. They've hung out with, you know, kind of the Tony Khan, so he kind of knows who they are and what they would bring to the table. I would just like to see the Briscoes finally get some, you know, mainstream exposure, other than, you know, they've been in Ring of Honor for the better part of a decade. Seeing them finally get a chance to showcase themselves on a TBS and a TNT, I think would be great for them. And if you put them boys in AEW, you got to put the belt on at some point. So Briscoe sign with AEW and win the AEW tag team titles.
My second bold prediction is that MJF turns babyface and becomes the best anti-hero in wrestling since Stone Cold. He's been getting some babyface reactions lately, obviously in Long Island, New York was the biggest one. He got some cheers last night on AEW Dynamite, getting the PG Punk chants going, and he tried to, like, quell it down and turn on the crowd a bit. I think the fans want to embrace MJF as a babyface, and he doesn't really need to change much. He can do what The Rock did. He can do what Stone Cold did in the late 90s, keep his attitude, keep his persona, but just turn it on a dime on the heels. So I think MJF turns babyface and becomes the best anti-hero in wrestling since Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now let's get to our third bold prediction, Dr. Trey. What say you?
So this one here is more of a dream match. So my main event at New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom coming up this next January, Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada for the New Japan IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. I think it's a dream match that people have been clamoring for with AEW's open door, forbidden door policy, whatever you want to call it. I think we get a chance for Bryan Danielson to go there and showcase his talents towards the end of his career against, you know, maybe the greatest wrestler in the history of New Japan. So Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
Ooh, could you imagine if that happens? I am all about that. And you heard Okada say recently he wants Danielson, he wants Punk. So let's make it happen, folks. Let's make this happen. My third bold prediction is that Bron Breakker becomes the breakout star in all of wrestling for 2022 and becomes the next big thing. You've probably heard that already, the Brock Lesnar comparisons. I honestly feel like, and I know I've said this before with other people, but this has been the first time that there's actually been a WWE train behind them. I think this is the closest that we've seen to the next big thing since Lesnar. I am a fan of Bron Breakker. I'm a fan of his potential. I'm excited for his future growth in professional wrestling. And I think he becomes the breakout star this year and becomes the next big thing. Dr. Trey, let's get to our fourth bold prediction.
I'm not going to bring up Lars Sullivan here, Jeff.
No. Lars did not have the train behind him like Bron Breakker has so far.
That's true. By the way, Harlan, to me, is scarier than Bron Breakker.
That is a good point.
Harlan scares the crap out of me.
I agree.
So for my fourth bowl prediction, Charlotte Flair, Antonio Brown's her way out of WWE so she can sign with AEW and reunite with her fiance there. You already have the tie-ins with the Flairs, with the Blanchards, the horsemen are all there pretty much. To me, this is a no-brainer in a lot of ways. She just has to rock the boat enough for them to go, you know what? We got Becky, we got Sasha, we got the returning Bailey, you know, we got Rhea, Raquel, Bianca, we got everybody. We don't need Charlotte anymore. Let's go and let her go. Save some money. Hey, budget cuts, yo. Let her go. Charlotte shows up in AEW, and we get Charlotte Flair and Britt Baker in a feud, which I think would actually be pretty damn entertaining.
All right, I like that. My next bold prediction is, and it's basically plain and simple here, Roman Reigns does not lose the WWE Universal Championship 2022. I know there's a lot of people thinking that he may be leaving. He'll be dropping the title soon to Brock. I don't think any of that thing happens. I think he continues this long title reign, 2 years plus, and he does not lose that WWE Universal Championship at all this year. So that's what my fourth bold prediction is. And now, Dr. Trey, let's get to our fifth and final bold predictions.
Well, you mentioned this gentleman earlier. So my bold prediction for my fifth and final one is that Cody Rhodes, quote unquote, retires from the world of professional wrestling. He's got a lot of heat on him for the fans saying he's a sellout. He's gone to Hollywood. To me, this would be the perfect time for Cody to, quote unquote, retire from professional wrestling. And it may be a longer term thing than we think, but I could see Cody stepping back, just being the executive vice president, working behind the scenes for Impact, or excuse me, for AEW, and focusing on his reality show and his Hollywood career, because he does have some good connections in Hollywood now. So Cody steps away from pro wrestling in 2022.
All right, my fifth and final bold prediction is that Edge wins the WWE Championship and is the best wrestler in 2022. If there's a stock that I'm investing in right now for some major growth this year, it is Edge, the Rated R Superstar. I love what he's done since he returned from his triceps injury over a year ago now, or less than a year ago. And I think this is going to be a huge year for him in WWE. So I think he wins the WWE Championship. And then when we look back at 2022, I think he is the wrestler of the year. So that is my fifth and final bold prediction. Dr. Trey's bold predictions are in the book. And now it's time to get to our WrestleMania 38 card predictions. So why don't I kick it off here first, Dr. Trey? I'll get the easy ones out of the way first. The WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I have 16 matches on the card, by the way. So those two are on there. I have for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, Carmella and Queen Zelina defend against Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan. For the Intercontinental Championship, I have Sami Zayn defending against Cesaro. For the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, I have the Usos defending against The New Day. For the Raw Tag Team Championship, I have RK-Bro defending against Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. For the WWE United States Championship, I have Damian Priest defending against Austin Theory. I have Finn Balor versus The Miz as a match. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio as a match. Edge versus AJ Styles as a match. I have Drew McIntyre versus Shane McMahon as a match. And I have that in there because they said recently the reason why Drew wasn't in that Battle Royal back in December was because it came from the higher-ups. It is WrestleMania season, and I think Shane is poised to be going one-on-one with the SmackDown Warrior, Drew McIntyre. I have John Cena taking on Goldberg. I have Charlotte Flair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble winner, Sasha Banks. I have Becky Lynch defending the Raw Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley. I have Bobby Lashley defending the WWE Championship against Big E, who wins the 2022 Men's Royal Rumble. And I have Roman Reigns defending the Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar. So that is my WrestleMania 38 card predictions, Dr. Trey. 16 matches on there. So that's what I'm rocking with. What about you? How many matches are you rocking with? And how does your card shake out for about 12 weeks from now?
So I have 16 also. And actually, I just threw two of them on the fly because I had 14 originally, but two of them make sense to me, but I'm kind of keeping one of yours. So I'll start at the bottom, work my way up. I have the Women's Battle Royal. I picked winners. Did you pick winners for your Battle Royals, by the way?
No, I did not, no.
Okay, so the Women's Battle Royal, I have Raquel Gonzalez winning the Women's Battle Royal. I have Ridge Holland winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I have Los Lotharios versus The New Day on my card. For the Women's Tag Team title, I have Carmella and Zelina defending against Shayna Baszler and Shotzi Blackheart. I also have The Miz versus Finn Balor. I also have AJ versus Edge. I also have Rey versus Dominic. I have John Cena against Shane McMahon because I've never seen John hasn't wrestled Vince, so why not wrestle Shane? I have Charlotte Flair also against Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's title. I also have Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's title. I have Damian Priest defending the United States title against Omos. I have Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Happy Corbin, Cesaro, Ricochet, and Sheamus in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. The Usos defend the SmackDown tag titles against the Viking Raiders. RK-Bro versus Seth and Kevin, like you had. I also have Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship. And also Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal Championship.
So there you go. There are our five bold predictions, as well as our WrestleMania 38 card predictions. We will open up the vault back in December now of this year and play this clip back. So hopefully we are very, very right, like we typically are. And we're not embarrassed when it comes time to play this clip back. I sincerely hope. All right, Dr. Trey, we are back here December 2022 now. I did say hopefully we're not embarrassed when we play this clip back, and quasi embarrassed, but I think you and I have come to understand that when we do these bold predictions and then listen back to them nearly a year later, that if we're able to hit on even one of them, it is a miracle.
I mean, that's true. Like, my favorite ones are always the WrestleMania cards. But yeah, the bold predictions ones, oh, sometimes I slap myself and go, why did you say that? But then other times I'm like, hey, that was pretty close. And then we'll trust me, we always justify it. We make it as close as possible.
All right, so let's recap here. I'll read it back to you, and we'll say if it's a point or not a point. So Cody Rhodes, this is mine, bold predictions. Cody Rhodes turns heel and becomes AEW World Champion by defeating Hangman Page. That did not happen, Dr. Trey.
No, and literally the guy left the company, I think, 3 months after we recorded that. So
yes, he did, which was shocking. And then, like, 4 weeks later, 3 weeks later, there was rumors of him going back to WWE. Yeah. My second one, MJF turns babyface, becomes the best anti-hero in wrestling since Stone Cold. I want to give it a half a point, but I think it's safe to say that did not happen.
Yeah, no, they just, Nick or Vince Russo Jr. just swerved it to make you think that you were going to get that right. And then a week later, they went the other way.
Number three, Bron Breakker becomes the breakout star in all of wrestling for 2022 and becomes the next big thing. I think I'm going to give myself an X on that as well.
Yeah, because do you think he moved up the food chain really this year? Like,
no. And I mean, we talked about a couple weeks ago on the pod, right? Like, about his matches. It just, they didn't resonate for me this year at all. So no, I don't think he did. My fourth one, Roman Reigns does not lose the WWE Universal Championship of 2022. That one I did get right.
Yeah, you nailed that one. I mean, we're up to what, as we record the show, what, 800 and some, it's damn near almost 3 years now. So
yeah, almost two and a half. I mean, he'll probably, if he holds it until WrestleMania, which I would be shocked if he doesn't, it'll be nearly close to 1,000 days. Yeah. Then my last one, Edge wins the WWE Championship and is the best wrestler in 2022. That unfortunately did not happen, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, so what, 1 for 5?
1 for 5, not bad.
1 for 5.
Dr. Trey's bold predictions, Bray Wyatt returns to WWE. That is a big point right there, Dr. Trey.
I got one.
The Briscoes sign with AEW and win the AEW Tag Team Championship. I think that's an X.
Well, I mean, technically, I mean, AEW owns Ring of Honor.
So I guess half a point?
Because they beat an AEW tag team to win the Ring of Honor tag team titles.
I mean, but they're not with AEW. I mean, what do you think? I mean, they are with AEW, the company, in ROH. Do you want to give it half a point?
I feel like maybe half a point, because like if you get signed to NXT, are you signed to WWE? Because that's how I kind of treat Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll give it a half a point. Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada at Wrestle Kingdom for the New Japan World title in 2023. That did not happen, unfortunately.
No, sad. Sad.
Number four, Charlotte Flair demands to leave WWE to sign with AEW. That did not happen, as far as we know.
No. No, she's just convincing her husband to try to leave AEW to come back.
And then finally here, Cody Rhodes retires from wrestling. That did not happen, Dr. Dre.
No, it didn't. But, I mean, heck, now, I mean, the next, was it the Big Show? I don't know. I want to see the Big Show comes back now that he's in WWE.
The Big Show returns to Netflix, which you were like a huge fan of.
I like that show. It was pretty fun.
He actually will do a recap pod on the series.
I mean, they have Rosario Dawson on it. I have a weird crush on Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Music is starting to play from my phone. I don't know why.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, POD started playing on my phone when we talked about Rosario Dawson.
Your phone's a Rosario Dawson fan.
Yeah, a huge Rosario Dawson fan on my phone. Now we go to the WrestleMania 38 card predictions. We'll go with you first, Dr. Trey. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. That did not happen.
Not this year.
I agree with you. John Cena versus Shane McMahon did not happen. But Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship did not happen. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship did happen. I'm not going to even give that a half a point because of the title. I think that was full. So, Usos versus Viking Raiders did not happen. For the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, RK-Bro versus Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for the Raw Tag Team Championship did not happen. Damian Priest versus Omos for the WWE United States Championship didn't happen. Ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Happy Corbin, Cesaro, Ricochet, and Sheamus, unfortunately, did not happen. Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship, that did not happen. Charlotte versus Sasha for the SmackDown Women's Championship did not happen. Edge versus AJ Styles, that happened, Dr. Trey.
Woohoo!
Miz versus Finn Balor did not happen. New Day versus Los Lotharios, would have loved what you were thinking there. That did not happen. Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Shayna Baszler and Shotzi Blackheart for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship did not happen. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal did happen. It was not Ridge Holland who won, so half a point, I will say. And then WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, you had Raquel Gonzalez winning. Did that match happen?
Well, they were going back and forth on what they were going to call it. I think it might have. I don't know if they did it on SmackDown or not, but regardless, I didn't get it right because I don't even know if it happened. And if they did, I know it wasn't Raquel Gonzalez that won it.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one. So, all right, my card predictions: Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship happened. Which, by the way, Dr. Trey got 1, 2, 2.5 right in the card predictions. That's not bad. Bobby Lashley versus Big E, who I had winning the Royal Rumble. Big E did not happen for the WWE Championship. Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship didn't happen. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I had Sasha winning the Royal Rumble. That did not happen. Cena versus Goldberg didn't happen. I think this match would have happened if Shane McMahon didn't fuck up at the Royal Rumble. Drew McIntyre versus Shane McMahon. That didn't happen. Edge versus AJ Styles didn't happen. Ray versus Dominic didn't happen.
Whoa. You said Edge versus AJ Styles didn't happen?
I'm sorry. It did happen.
Yeah.
Ray versus Dominic did not happen. Finn versus The Miz did not happen. Damian Priest versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship didn't happen. RK-Bro versus Seth and Kevin Owens for the Raw Tag Team Championship didn't happen. The Usos versus The New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship didn't happen. Sami Zayn versus Cesaro for the Intercontinental Championship didn't happen. Carmella and Queen Zelina defending the Women's Tag Team Championship against Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan didn't happen. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal did happen. I did not put down a winner. WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal did not happen. So I got like 3 right here, but that's because I didn't put down a winner for Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So I got 3. Dr. Trey basically got 3 because the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal happened. Yeah. Got 2.5. Bold predictions, I got 1 out of 5, and you got 1.5 out of 5, Dr. Trey, overall.
Yeah. So, once again, So here in a couple, or when we do the bowl predictions, I'll have to like buff my crystal balls much better this year than I did last year. I'm going to have multiple balls on the table for this one, Jeff, because there's multiple companies. So I got to have multiple balls available.
It's not easy. I mean, remember how easy the WrestleMania card predictions used to be like years ago?
Yeah, because like literally when we record this, like you in your mind, you're like, okay, the WrestleMania card should be kind of set, and then it would take a couple months of a buildup to get to those matches because you got to get through the Rumble and you got to get through whatever pay-per-views in February, March, you know, as you get to WrestleMania. So you kind of knew where they were going. It's like, man, we might have thought they were going a different direction, but when we pick 15 matches and only 2.5 happen, apparently, yeah, they change plans pretty fluid when it comes to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it used to be a lot easier. It's not anymore. The bold predictions were literally throwing stuff at the wall, hoping for the best. Speaking of holiday programming schedule, next week's edition of the show, episode 672, we will wrap up the year with our 2022 SRT Award Show special. And then in 2 weeks' time, as Dr. Trey just mentioned, on January the 5th, 2023, episode 673, we kick off the new year with our 2023 wrestling preview special. And, of course, we will give our WrestleMania 39 card predictions and our 5 bold predictions during that episode as well. With that said, let's get a couple plugs and sponsors out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at RealGuyRadio.com, WrestleChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Real to Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTUJeff and for Dr. Trey Franklin at TheDrTrey. And, of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTUPodcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at TheDrTrey. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling. They just had a really big show this past weekend, and we're getting closer and closer to the Rocket City Rumble, which is one of our biggest shows every single year. So be on the lookout for that. Go check out your local independent wrestling shows as well so you can see the new stars that we'll be talking about when we get to SRTU, the 20th year anniversary here in 7 years. And then also, go to the Still Real Truth Show Facebook page. I want people to send in their awards winners. I want to see what you guys think. We don't really, typically, 13 years, we don't really care what you guys think. We care now. So go fill those things out. Let us see what you guys think, because I want to see what all these AEW diehard fans put down as their wrestler of the year, tag teams of the year. So all those people that hate us for burying AEW can have their shot at us at least.
Yeah, have your cake and eat it too, folks. Have your cake and eat it too. So once again, next week's edition of the show, December 29th, we'll wrap up the year with our 2022 SRT Award Show special. And then in 2 weeks, we'll kick off the year with our wrestling preview special as well. So lots of fun stuff going on here during the holiday programming. Spread the word about the Still Real Truth Show. Tell your friends who enjoy professional wrestling to check us out. Download, like, subscribe, spread the word. That helps us out immensely. So thank you for doing that. To all those celebrating the holidays here for Christmas, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy Hanukkah to those celebrating. Kwanzaa, whatever you all celebrate, enjoy the holidays with friends, family. And hopefully we're going to get some really good gifts and spend some quality time with their loved ones. So until next week, for Dr. Trey Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. Thank you for downloading. This is the Still Real Fuzz Show. The top of 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 the top of